place. Welcome back to the Grass Awakening. Coming up here. I'm going to get back to this just here in a minute, but let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Rhonda. Is it Rhonda in Missouri?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hey,
how you doing? Go ahead.
Good, how are you? I was working while I was listening to your show, so I didn't hear if you mentioned when that, what is Scott Israel? Is that his name?
The sheriff?
When he got it.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. When did he get that job? Did you say?
When did you talk about the sheriff of Broward County, Scott Israel?
Scott,
when did he get?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the day that he actually took office.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that could play a part in, you know, if it was around the time that Wasserman Schultz started doing her dirty dealings or.
You know what? That's a good question. I'm writing it down right now because I'm going to look it up. When was he made sheriff? Okay, and I may be able to get to it during the next break. I'm going to put a star next. Yeah. Okay. It might matter
because it would totally point to collusion, I think.
Oh yeah. No, you're absolutely right. That's a good point.
Okay.
I should probably hire you. I need a producer anyway.
I am kind of an investigator in my job, so just not in the criminal sense, but
okay.
Okay, Michael, thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to look that up during the break. So, or if anybody wants to try to look that up, Google it and see when this sheriff actually walked into office there. That's great. You know, but the police officers reported Nicholas Cruz saying that voices in his head told him to do the shooting. Now, that's a telltale sign, folks, of an MK Ultra victim, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow. It has similarities to another shooting incident in Sheriff Israel's bailiwick. Back on January 6th of last year, a gunman walked towards the baggage claim carousels at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport and shot dead six people with a Walther PPK pistol. And that assailant, he was a National Guardsman named Esteban Santiago Ruiz, had earlier visited the FBI field office in Anchorage, Alaska, where he was stationed to complain that the United States government was controlling his mind and making him watch videos by the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, ISIS, and that the CIA was forcing him to join the group. Well, Mr. Obama, that shows why so many foreign fighters from Western countries joined the terrorist outfit created by your agency. The coincidence of two shooting incidents, if either or both are actually false flag operations, would indicate that the Broward County Sheriff's Office can be depended on to clean up after the CIA and its partner in crime, the Democratic Party, whose former chief, the most reviled Debbie Wasserman Schultz, is up for re-election in the November midterms. Interesting. Let's go to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. Oh, Francis in Idaho, is it? Oh, Francis in Idaho, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay. You there?
I'm here.
Hello? Okay, here's my take on it. All the pieces fell together last night, just out of the sky. He was recruited, like I said, because they saw his posts and stuff, and they said, this is our guy. Maybe they had this all planned. He got cold feet. Basically, he got cold feet. He was with the girl. The shots were at the other end of the building. He says, oh, no, they really were serious. And he goes. Mm-hmm. He hides. So the guy that's masked that the teacher saw come in with the full gear and stuff, that was just part of the plan. By him getting cold feet, he may have saved his life because he'd have probably gotten greased right then.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, when they went up and the suits told the cops to stand down, they wanted to make sure all the evidence was wiped. What I need to see is his picture on a timestamp in all those stores compared to the school's timestamp when the guy in full camel gear was there. There's going to be a big discrepancy, and he can't be in two places at once. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Francis. I appreciate that. Those are great points. But will never see it. Those cameras will never see the light of day because, yes, it very well could have been a setup. That was their boy for a patsy because of the Facebook posts that he had made and the calls that were made to the FBI complaining about this guy. Okay, so that another good point. Great callers. Okay, back in 2008, the sheriff's election campaign, Republican strategist Roger Stone. Now, this may be an answer to your question, Rhonda. Republican strategist Roger Stone described the candidate Scott Israel, then head of the SWAT team that conducted illegal busts in the black community, as an unqualified punk, a racist, and a thief. That is a quote from Roger Stone. Now, thanks much for that character witness testimony, which confirms our own findings, Roger and out. Younger people have never seen video clips of Florida SWAT from those good old days in the 1980s when back walls of low-end family homes were blown open with explosives and cops charged in firing. If evidence could not be found during a raid, the cops planted on the suspect bags of crack, which were produced inside a lab at the Broward County Sheriff's Office. Most of the confiscated evidence, the money and drug raids, disappeared down a black hole. A local SWAT commander had the duty to the force, if not to God, to put a scrubbed handgun down next to a still quivering body of another dead Schwarzer. That's the Yiddish variation of the N-word, derived from German Schwarzen for black. The good riddance tactics explain why so many episodes of Miami Vice featured Sonny Crockett and Rico Tubbs going after thieving punks in a police force. Video cassettes of the Vice series should be mandatory in history classes and citizenship seminars for DACA youths. Scott Israel is something worse than your average crooked Miami-style cop due to his being honored as the Man of the Year by Sham Rim. That law-defying ultra-Orthodox Jewish vigilante group protects pedophiles, covers up crimes by Zionists, infiltrates police departments, and trains recruits for murderous attacks by Israeli settlers against unarmed Palestinians. These moral men also organize modesty patrols to make sure Jewish women are properly attired, much like their counterparts in Salafist Islam. Except that this is happening in Brooklyn, Baltimore, and Miami. The Sham Rim chapter in South Florida was founded in Miami by a rabbi in the Coast Guard. Go figure. The United States Coast Guard is tasked with pursuing and arresting drug traffickers and people smugglers. Of course, little Haitian DACA girls are a major commodity in the nightclubs and the escort circuit. And as for cocaine, the Orthodox Jewish rabbis of Miami have fervently converted the Marano community, the hidden Jews of Medellin, Colombia, back to the fold, and sending them on to Israel for further indoctrination. And for the next major shipment of coke, dope dealers need to search no further than the local synagogue. It's a spectacular start of a new Vice series to see Sheriff Israel blow out the back wall and make off with the dope and the silver menorahs and toss a Saturday night special down on the top of a rabbi. Never mind the Holocaust sob story. Here is a diamond hard fact. In 1938, New York Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia appointed Sham Rim boss Max Finkelstein to provide bodyguards for visiting Nazi officials and protect the consulate of Hitler-run Germany. So, my American Jewish friends, it's high time to wake up to what these pedophile thugs have really been about. As Roger Stone put it so nicely, no yidiot or shiksa, an immodest woman, liberal whining over gun control should be tolerated from the likes of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Not when it's your children who are in constant danger of molestation and rape or a school shooting by a fetlocked creep next door. Instead of wasting interfaith tolerance on Debbie's gang of hypocrites, here's the skivvy on Sham Rim. It translates as watchers, or more technically as protection, as in racket. The Haredi ultra-Orthodox vigilante group is renowned for making citizens' arrests involving brutal beatings of little black boys suspected of petty crimes. For example, stealing cartons of milk for survival of their younger siblings. And as for Miranda rights, if they run into a Latino, they'll beat him to a pulp, too. It's so amusing to watch someone like Senator Chucky Schumer preach interracial tolerance. And under the code of Messira, or to turn over, any Jew who reports a crime by another Jew to the police, including rape of minors, is automatically ostracized as a moser, or an informant, and marked for execution. No, this is not from the protocols of the Elders of Zion. It is a fact of life for Jews and their victims. As put by the authoritative voice of Jewish law, Maimonides, the 12th century Spain, it is forbidden to hand over a Jew to the goyim, or heathen, neither his person nor his goods, even if he is wicked and a sinner, even if he causes distress and pain to fellow Jews. Whoever hands over a Jew to the goyim has no part in the next world. It is permitted to kill a moser or informant wherever he is. It is even permitted to kill him before he has handed over a fellow Jew. Apparently, the only clause in the United States Constitution that Shom Rim members respect is the Fifth Amendment. This outright rejection of United States law, including the rulings of the Supreme Court, bring up the question of why are these fanatic cultists are allowed to hold U.S. citizenship? Mormon polygamy is outlawed, and Charlie Manson died in prison. So how can these wild-eyed zealots be allowed to get away with raping little boys? Well, you're probably wondering, why haven't you heard this before? Because it's a secret society, like their higher-ups in the Illuminati who've got the intelligence services, the police, and the legal profession under their thumb. And participation in pedophilia is the guarantee of secrecy. And instead of exposing their own Jewish editors like Marty Baron, can go from the Miami Herald to the Boston Globe to accuse Catholic priests, as in the movie Spotlight, to divert public attention from the even worse atrocities by the rabbis. And this only scratches the surface of Jewish bigotry and immorality. So let's hope this I Shot the Sheriff expose can be the beginning of investigative journalism on a wide scale. Now, let's turn back to Parkland, where the alleged shooter's brother, Zach, was quickly hauled off to a psychiatric center for the legal limit of 12 hours. No, I'm afraid not. It's not 12 hours. It's 72 hours. It's called the Baker Act. I had to deal with that with my daughter when they rounded her up and threw her in there a few years ago. And thank the Lord I was on the radio at the time, or she would have pulled out her... That's a whole other story in itself. Yes, they throw his younger brother into a mental ward, and apparently for a massive mind-altering dose. Oddly, there's been zero mention of younger brother Zach ever having attended Parkland School, and news reports suggest that he is the younger brother, although Nicholas was adopted immediately at birth from the Jewish mother by the Cruz couple. This means that the brothers are unrelated by blood, so there is no genetic factor behind the duo's mental issues. The waters are already being muddied by dubious claims in the social media. Nicholas Cruz is portrayed, as they always do, folks, as a troubled loner, as in the case of all such shooters. Yet one of his classmates claimed to be his girlfriend who dropped him for an African-American rival, provoking his enraged reaction. This sounds like another "I was bonked by Charlie Manson" claim to fame. So if so, why didn't an angry Cruz wait outside the school on Valentine's Day to gun them down instead of whacking 17 unrelated students and teachers? Everyone is trying to get their 15 minutes of fame off of this crazy Nick. Following stepmother Linda Cruz's death in late 2017, which happened some 3 months prior to the shooting, the boys were invited to stay at the home of a family friend, the Sneeds, who are not officially registered as foster parents. The wife famously said, and I quote, "We had a monster living under our roof and we didn't know," unquote. That brutal attempt to dissociate speaks for itself. What if he's innocent? The so-called confession means absolutely nothing given the heinous criminal record of the South Florida police for frame-ups of innocent suspects. And perhaps the couple knew all about the $800,000 inheritance the boys are entitled to receive from the sale of the Cruz family properties. Once the estate lawyers complete the paperwork, a war veteran who served with him mentioned that James Sneed, who runs an air conditioning repair service in Coral Springs, served as a, guess what, folks, military intelligence analyst, meaning there could be an underlying connection to the Nexus. Now, Nicholas was expelled from school apparently early in the first semester and of the 2017 and 18 school year. Parkland School is unwilling to release the records showing grounds for his expulsion and whether he was committed to a psychiatric treatment. Now, classmates say he just went away during those months. His flare-ups of violence, you know, like throwing eggs at cars, for instance, apparently occurred earlier. Drugs alone could have exacerbated his antisocial attitudes, but with midterm elections on the horizon, the Democratic Party is desperately, and I want to emphasize, folks, desperately because they're broke, they are in need of a gun control issue to prevent its wipeout by the Republicans. This motive alone suffices, especially when six congressional seats of Democratic incumbents are at stake. The odds are therefore on a planned terror attack for political objectives, meaning Nicholas Jesus Cruz was set up all along as a patsy. The fact that the brother, who is, by the way, genetically dissimilar, also has severe mental issues that suggests a common or similar social cause for their psychological disorders. And in the context of Pedophile Center South Florida, the probable cause is pedophilia, possibly related to that region's booming child porn industry. That would explain the sensitivity of the school report, since photos of the students indicate a disproportionate number of girls with heavy makeup and freaks, kids with a perverse bent in fashion. Something is rotten in Broward besides Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And although they are probably linked at a financial level, what I suspect is that Nicholas Cruz's previous run-ins with the police got him into the radar range of Parkland's ultra-Orthodox pedophile circle. Him being born a Jew made him an ideal target for the bar mitzvah training. His messages indicate hatred of blacks and Hispanics, but curiously, not Jews. Aligning his racism identity or identically with that of Shamrim, his assignment to the Sneeds may have been by school administrators trying to keep him out of the clutches of known pedophiles. Perhaps Nicholas resented the fact that he was the golden boy to the Orthodox cult members and then of being taken away on orders from the school. The only way to begin to solve this case is to prevent Nicholas Jesus Cruz and adoptive brother Zachary from being silenced by the murderous politicians in Florida. Both youths need to be moved under the Federal Witness Protection Program to another distant state for debriefing in detail and allowed enough space and comfort to provide honest answers. And before I continue, I want to throw something else in here. How is it? Why is the FBI always involved in this stuff? Okay? I don't get it. What, you know, it used to be that you know, the state and local police would take care of this stuff, and the FBI always seems to be sticking its nose in now. Why is that? The pattern of the shooting suggests at least two gunmen were involved, as indicated, by the way, by some witnesses. Seven of the students were shot inside Building 12, most of them on the third floor, before going down the stairwell to shoot others outside. But that would only be half of the gunshot victims. Three separate fire alarms, folks, were triggered in different locales. All of this happened in the span of 6 minutes, meaning the Parkland School attack appears to be yet another false flag incident done by a team of professional gunmen, which gets back to the earlier issue of why was Deputy Peterson called away that afternoon. I think I hear the music, do I not? Yes, be back in three.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hey, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun here. During the break, I thought I'd do a little sleuth thing there for Rhonda in Missouri. And in answer to the question, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was elected chairperson of the Democratic National Committee in May of 2011. Sheriff Israel was elected to the sheriff in 2012. So, I don't know. There may be a connection there. Never know. Let's get back to this. Sheriff Israel also claims that Nicholas Cruz confessed to entering the school after 2 p.m. and hiding in a service closet for 2 hours. Presumably, the lunch hour is over by 1:30 when the only entrance is locked electronically and security cameras and motion detectors would spot any intruder. So, the much likelier scenario is that the gunman had the access codes and may have entered and exited the campus through another route with the aid of Deputy Peterson and the Sheriff's Department under orders from higher-ups. For example, someone like Eric Holder. The Sham Rim, with its variants like the Betar Militia, founded with funds and weapons from the Imperial Japanese Military Intelligence Service, was the foundation for the creation of the Shin Bet Internal Security Group in Israel. The Shin Bet organization structure was re-imported back from Israel into the United States then by Senator Joe Lieberman, the Democrat from Connecticut, as the design for his post-9/11 creation called the Department of Homeland Security, which was tested in his backyard at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. 2 years prior to that successful test run of upgraded school shootings, the ultra-Orthodox Sham Rim movement gained control over the University of Connecticut campus in Waterbury, Connecticut, which is the closest city to Newtown, just 18 miles apart. There, a yeshiva or Jewish rabbinical seminary was set up to train 200 young male Jews in the Torah and missionary tactics for evicting non-Jews from Israeli-occupied Palestine. Now, what Americans have never comprehended is that Israeli expansionism is not just over there in the Eastern Mediterranean, but it begins at home in America with the accumulation of Jewish wealth in the markets and increasing control over real estate to the ruin of long-established Christian communities. Lieberman needed to shake down the DHS school security program, which is aimed at turning the public education system into razor-wire-wrapped concentration camps. Like architect Frank Gehry's prison-like structures, some people just can't seem to get enough of Dachau. My father was with the 552nd Military or Artillery Corps when it broke open the gates to free the prisoners. So go ahead, JDL, enlist me as your anti-Semite, as you've done before, you miserable pedophile victims. That was said by, what's his name? The guy, what's, the guy that did this article. What's his name? Shimatsu. Anyway, let's see here. Anyway, excuse me for that satisfying eye for an eye. So the infrastructure for Sandy Hook was set into place with a Hasidic yeshiva, a fortress overlooking the one road in front in from the Atlantic coast. The point here is Sandy Hook serves as the model for Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School, with the Sham Rim Shin Bet unit in place and much of the South Florida under Zionist settler control, as was developing in eastern Connecticut. Now, before signing off, how else is Parkland related to the Newtown attack of December of 2012? Adam Lanza, the Sandy Hook suspect, was 20 years old, pretty close to the same age as Cruz. I hear the music coming up. Be back in three. I'll continue with this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I stand my ground. Won't be.
All right, folks, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I was perusing through a couple of emails during the break, and I got an email from Patrick. Patrick, you know, I'm not blocking you or shadowing you or banning you. You say that you know I'm very busy, but you need my help. Okay, send me an email. It's getting through. You know, I don't know what you would want me to do for you. But anyway, that said, no, I haven't blocked or banned you, Pat. So let's get back to this. How else is Parkland related to the Newtown attack in December of 2012? Adam Lanza, the Sandy Hook suspect, as I said, was 20 years old, about the same age as Cruz, and reportedly shot 20-plus primary school students after killing his mother. Now, the killing was probably done by a two-man team of experienced shooters, retired from the New York State Police based on their methods and escape route to upstate New York. And John Stadtmiller has said many times he wanted to know who that guy was out in the back, which, remember, that's all just been hush-hushed. Now, Lanza's emotional problems went untreated, according to a psychological profile done by Yale University for the state's Child Advocates Office. Cruz, in contrast, did reportedly receive repeated psychiatric care at a yet-to-be-disclosed hospital. In terms of operational efficiency, the Parkland shooting was more expertly conceived and executed. Cruz was allowed to survive because he is cooperative and likely recruited by the Sham Rim, which probably promised him a new start in life in Israel. His death will be faked with substitution by a John Doe body. Location is important for these operations, folks, because Florida is most convenient for covert ops, such as the Orlando Pulse operation, along with the rest. Newtown is located near centers for the CIA-sponsored MKUltra program, which I'm going to get into tomorrow, at Yale, and it's in its vicinity. I discussed in my Sandy Hook series 6 years ago, J.D. Salinger wrote Catcher in the Rye in 1950 and 1951 in Westbury, which is located very near Newtown, then and now, just a Sunday drive through the countryside. Remember that word, too, Catcher in the Rye, folks. Got some interesting tidbits on you, or with you, for that tomorrow. In World War II, Salinger served in the Counterintelligence Corps, the CIC, but his activities following the liberation of Dachau have gone unreported. CI requires interrogation of prisoners, and by then, experimental drugs were tested as truth serums. The real start to MKUltra. In 1938, the Sandoz Pharmaceutical Lab in Switzerland refined LSD from ergo, a mildew that grows on rye, which explains the book title, and human experimentation started around 1940. As his final sentences at the end of Catcher assert, and I quote, "Don't ever tell anybody anything. If you do, you start missing everybody," unquote. Oh, excuse me. No, not unquote. "If you do, you start missing everybody, all the dead soldiers," unquote. A lot of these fallen soldiers in the drug tests at the military-supervised labs must have been children. The spoiler for Catcher in the Rye is the protagonist Holden Caulfield's dream of saving children falling out of the sky onto a field of rye. The key to preventing another deep state-sponsored operation like Newtown or Parkland is for all of us to not just be hit-or-miss catchers desperately scrambling below the screaming children, but to once and for all to shoot down that airplane tossing the kids out of its bomb bay. So, honoring the fallen with blessings from St. Valentine, bow your head for a minute to the children, denied their adulthood, by the way, and grieve with their loved ones, so that their souls may find peace in eternity that is so absent from this terrifying world. In the turmoil of conflicted emotions of sorrow for the innocent and fear of the perpetrators, we must find the strength to hold on to the cold clarity required to prevent more such evil deeds in this endless coil of mass murder. And remember, folks, these gun-free zones were created by liberals, voted in by liberals. And in the wake of tragedy, let us muster the courage to face the harsh facts to learn how to prevent a repetition and save these young children. Let's not resort to easy outs or cheap shots, for example, to politicize bandwagon against the citizenry's right to self-defense, since these sorts of antisocial crimes arise from political necessity born of ambition, greed, and anxiety in the human heart. They're going to strike again, folks, and our defenses must be strong and resilient. Uncovering the complex of motivating forces and quelling the corruption that eats away at a nation's moral core requires lifelong commitment, not a one-shot panacea. We have to stay the course. The teachers, the protectors of our children, at least those who are capable, should bear arms in line with the spirit and the letter of the Second Amendment. I'm all for that. How about you? And the qualified parent should also enlist in a school guard on a voluntary basis or as emergency responders after background checks. Of course, as shown time and time again, paid security men cannot be as reliable and dedicated as members of the community organized in the citizen militia of a free and indivisible society, as also mandated in the same clause of the Bill of Rights. What better to have than a couple, three or four of the parents within a block of each other that are armed, and if it goes off, swoop down on whoever is perpetrating the crime? And over the past week, more pieces of the puzzle have emerged from witness testimony, confirming the initial analysis presented in the earlier two parts of this series. Other key elements involved in this heinous crime are probed, and these include a description of the body armor and the tactics of the reported three assailants are here compared with the IDF, the Israel Defense Force, the commando operations in Gaza, for which local Shamrim vigilantes have volunteered and participated. The falsified public report by the Zionist ADL in less than a day of the shooting claiming the suspect, Patsy, Nicholas Cruz, is a member of a white supremacist organization, whereas in fact his bloodline is Jewish. The psychologist for Nicholas Cruz, whose background in research for Army intelligence focused on neuron control systems, is disclosed here, along with questions about the lad's earlier confinement in state juvenile and psychiatric facilities, and more details about the Cruz family fortune left to stepson, Nicholas. Now, set aside the erroneous assumption that easily arises from this sort of incident. The suspicion that a drill was held at Parkland School on St. Valentine's Day lacks support from facts on the ground. The school resource officer, Peterson, in charge of emergency drills, was not present on the school premises that afternoon, but was, quote, called away, probably by the sheriff's office. So, him being personally in charge of running all emergency drills, his absence has not only gone unexplained, but Sheriff Israel lied that he was, that his presence was somewhere on campus. That was a lie. Remember, Israel dodged the question. The presumption of a drill arises from the confusion over the red code alert just prior to the shootings. That automated lockdown was immediately followed by three separate fire alarms in different buildings, which electronically unlocked the classroom doors and compelled the students to evacuate through hallways where they came under direct gunfire. One assailant fired down a hallway prior to the fire alarm in building 1200, an out of sync sequence that proves teamwork more than the actions of a lone gunman. And the fact that gunmen had timed the three alarms by their slightly differing wristwatches indicated that they maintained complete cell phone and radio walkie-talkie silence to avoid intercepts over local mobile home base stations. The strike team had entered the high-security school compound on the park-like campus without detection, meaning they had prior access to security codes, site layout, and the class schedule. In other words, these were not outsiders, but men within the Parkland community. There were no crisis actors, at least not yet. Witness accounts indicate that classmates were gunned down without time for a stage crew to apply fake blood or to paint bullet holes on foreheads. The gunshot wounds were genuine and lethal, splattering and spurting bright crimson blood with not much some moaning due to the high kill ratio, which indicates, by the way, prior battle experience of these commandos. Indeed, the attackers could have easily killed many more students, but from the numbers count, had limited their firing to tally a pre-assigned quota. In-depth foreknowledge and precision pre-planning were clearly evident. None of the students or teachers had previously been involved in gunfire attacks or warfare, and therefore lacked the experience to keep track of events at a critical psychological distance, as, for example, a war correspondent or an experienced soldier. In their shock and confusion, the witnesses tended to compress the events into a streaming consciousness that reduced the psychological sense of time much less than the whole hour that transpired between the initial code red alert and arrival of policemen. And in their state of shock, many students could not distinguish between the assailants and the rescuers, who were similarly uniformed. The estimated span of shooting is roughly 6 minutes. Therefore, the assault team had more than 45 minutes for escape from campus while the stunned students and teachers crouched for safety while waiting for the first responders. Some took the risk of charging out and paid the ultimate price for their panicked haste. Another source of the confusion was the body armor worn by the assault team members, noticed by a teacher on the third floor of Building 1200, as quoted in ABC News. This is what they had to say. I quote, "At first glance, she thought the shooter could be a police officer because of the way he was dressed in full metal garb, complete with helmet, face mask, and bulletproof armor," unquote. The protective gear for police tactical squads and FBI agents are painted with identifying insignias. The attackers were, by contrast, dressed in unmarked black. Who could they be? U.S. Army Special Forces? Russian infiltrators? Or a Salvadorian death squad? Nicholas Cruz? He's puny by comparison to the description given by the observant teacher. As detailed, the likeliest suspect behind the raid is the Shamrim ultra-Orthodox Jewish vigilante group heavily concentrated in Parkland, headquarters of the Lubavitcher movement in Broward and Palm Beach counties. Parkland is on the county line. Not only would they or could they obtain insider information on the target site, Most of the able-bodied members of Shamrim have trained and served in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, which has dispatched innumerable strike teams for house-to-house raids in Gaza, along with major offensive against bunkers, tunnels, missile launchers, mortar pits, and rooftops during intense urban warfare since 2006, which flared into all-out air and ground battles in 2014. And many Shamrim volunteers have also served with counterinsurgency units of the Shin Bet, the Israel International Security Force assigned to capturing Palestinian political prisoners as prisoners for interrogation. The standard gear for anti-Palestinian suppression operations in Gaza is a black helmet, a Kevlar vest with armor plate over vital organs, and a baklava headgear, ski masks, to avoid identification by security video cams, which can be used in human rights investigation. As of last week, these same operational tactics have been deployed against American citizens. Welcome to Gaza, USA, folks. South Florida is Little Israel, where the mainstream population has ignored the same tactics being deployed repeatedly against the ghettoized African-American community by Broward SWAT teams under its notorious former commander, Scott Israel, who is now sheriff. And the only difference in the Parkland school attack is that, this time around, the victims are not just blacks suspected of dealing crack to minors, but also your average whites, Hispanics, Arab Americans, and liberal Jews. Everybody except ultra-Orthodox cultists who attend gender-segregated Hasidic private schools. The Zionist war of conquest against indigenous Palestinians has at last come home. Because South Florida is a key political stronghold for the pro-Israel lobby in Congress, which faces a potential wipeout in the upcoming midterm elections when the Republicans are focusing on the infamous Debbie Wasserman Schultz in Broward County and Ted Deutch in Boca Raton. The latter inherited the congressional seat of powerful Zionist lobbyist Robert Wexler, who is responsible for hiring the Imran Awan spy team for Pakistan to monitor the computers in the U.S. House of Representatives. Their warmonger-in-chief, Benjamin Netanyahu-Biedelboken, is right now facing prosecution on corruption charges before he can complete his final solution to the Palestinian problem. And as the saying goes, desperate times call for desperate measures. If a few Americanized daughters of liberal Jews have to die in the school carnage to keep Congress under the Zionist thumb, well, that's a small price to pay for the new Judaic empire. The monster is not Nicholas Cruz, but the bestial Zionist criminals who planned and staged this assault for their own political purposes. In their demented cultist minds, Goyim Christian heathens and even liberal Jews are filth to be wiped off the face of the earth. This sort of religious fervor, based on logic similar to Charlie Manson's, is pushing toward an apocalyptic war in which one side or the other will be slaughtered off in the name of God. These are madmen who must be coddled but stopped in their tracks. And as in the Vietnam War, coming home to Kent State University, the genocidal campaign against Palestinian civilians has circled back to South Florida, with probably much worse yet to come. Just as the 1960s anti-war protesters railed against the pro-war Cardinal Francis Spellman in his point man at DOD Robert McNamara to demand an end to the napalming of villagers in Indochina, the ongoing genocide in Gaza and soon Jerusalem demands that people of conscience, especially American Jews, must summon the moral courage to break the Zionist grip on the political power in the USA. The un-American monopoly of Zionist power is being bolstered in this particular case by a noxious revisionist outfit called the Anti-Defamation League, which immediately tried to pin the blame on Parkland on white supremacists. And on the day after Valentine's, the ADL issued an online bulletin claiming that chief suspect Nicholas Cruz is a member of the alt-right Republic of Texas, a tiny fringe group of lowlifes in Tallahassee, which had earlier sent a handful of followers to the Charlottesville fracas. And according to the ADL blog, after self-described ROF members claimed on the discussion forum 4chan that Cruz had also been a member, the Anti-Defamation League spoke with an ROF member who identified himself as Jordan Jarib. After that posting, by nightfall on February 15th, ROF boss Jordan Jarib reversed his earlier statement about Cruz's alleged participation in gun handling lessons in Tallahassee, and after sobering up, Jarib admitted that he had never met Cruz, nor is the Parkland suspect an ROF member. clarifying that he was half asleep when ADL made its early morning phone call, peppering him with rapid-fire questions. Wow. You know, folks, this, as I said, ties in with tomorrow's show, and I don't even think I'm going to be able to get through all of this because I believe I have a break coming up here, and there's a whole lot more to go. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue this in tomorrow. We'll be back in three, final segment coming up. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around with me. Right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. You know, this is what this is all about, folks. This is all about a platform for the Democrats to run, gun control, pointing at this latest shooting incident. It's contrived. It's a false flag. My opinion, I could be wrong, but I doubt it, because I'm not done yet, okay? You trace back this blatant ADL deception aimed at discrediting the populist movement and to disarm the American citizenry as if they are Palestinians through the anti-constitutional agenda of gun control, as exposed by Politico, and imposed to the neo-Nazi web forum called The Right Stuff. A user called Jordan Fash said that the idea originated in a group chat on Discord, an app for gamers that is popular with white nationalists and the alt-right. And according to Fash, short for fascist, I'm sure, an ABC News reporter reached out to one of the group's members on Instagram. And the group passed around her number and told her Cruz was associated with ROF leader Jordan Jarib. And group members communicated with at least two ABC News reporters in a coordinated effort. And the reporters asked the trolls to substantiate their stories. Not to suggest that you aren't being truthful, but it would be very helpful if you could let me know how you know that, one of the ABC News reporters wrote to one person via Instagram, according to screenshots posted on 4chan. It was common knowledge on he or Cruz, he did rallies with ROF. I frequently saw him conversing with Jordan Jarib in person, replied Ethan in post at Gab, a social networking site used by many in the alt-right. One user said the Discord group spent about 18 hours orchestrating, contacting ABC, and being interviewed by reporters, etc. So let's do the basic math. The Parkland students were on the sidewalk or in the hospital by 5 p.m. Wednesday, February 14th, and Nicholas Cruz's arrest was flashed on at 6 p.m. evening news. The Discord group then spent the next 18 hours on the press campaign, meaning their disinfo project was completed about noon the following day on February 15th. Add up the hours, and you'll get the smoking gun. ADL phoned Jarib in the very early on Thursday morning, and about 6 hours before the 4chan claim was reported by ABC News. It is highly unlikely that any paid professional staffers at ADL had been checking the 4chan board on the late evening of Valentine's Day, unless they were the ones who posted the false reports. Are you doubting Tom's among our liberal Jewish friends in the news media still wary about this accusation of deliberate ADL disinformation? Well, you are about to learn that the alt-right Discord chat room sponsored by Polygon Gaming has been shut down since mid-August after the Charlottesville fracas. The alt-right Discord chat room is fictitious. The phantom presence on the non-existent alt-right board must have been created by the ADL and its accomplices at Polygon Vox. Huh. How about that? Well, you know what, folks? I'm going to end this for the day. Tomorrow, I'm going to close this out before I get into tomorrow's topic, which is MKUltra. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay out of trouble. I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow. Have a good rest of the day.
I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.